My ex-husband had a rather frustrating way of dealing with any sort of confrontation that involved his own wrongdoings. Didn't matter how gently I tried to explain what my problem was with him, he'd always take it very personally, and after making a couple of super weak excuses for his actions, if he didn't just deny them altogether, he would shut down. He would stop talking to me, sometimes for days, and he would become the epitome of a stone wall. For example, when my oldest son was born, he went to a bar and got drunk pretty soon after that. I had a really hard delivery and I felt like I really needed him to be with me, but his own addiction issues kept him from being there. When he finally did return to the hospital, he passed out in a cot at the end of my bed. That night, I noticed that my baby felt really warm, like he had a fever. I tried to wake up my ex to get him to find the nurse to check on the baby. When he wouldn't get up, I contacted the nurse's station with a little button they'd given me and explained that I was worried, and they said, okay, we'll be there shortly. Now, at this point, I'd already been in the hospital for 3 days, and the nurse who showed up was one who I hadn't seen up to this point. So when she came in and I tried to explain what was going on, it kind of shocked me when she kind of looked me up and down and then walked out of the room with my baby without a single word. I was confused, but I thought, well, maybe she took him in the hallway to check his temperature. After a few minutes, I realized she wasn't going to return. And the recent news story about people dressing up as nurses to steal babies from the hospital that had happened around that time, combined with the lack of sleep that I had struggled with, led me to the irrational conclusion that this nurse was there to steal my baby. So I was totally freaking out, and I tried to wake up my husband, who at that point was still passed out, to help me find the baby. I couldn't walk, or at least I hadn't walked up to that point yet, due to my painful C-section, which was done without anesthesia while I was wide awake. Long story. And I was pretty much beside myself when he wouldn't get up. But long story short, I dragged myself out of the bed and into the middle of the hallway before nearly collapsing as I was screaming, "Where's my baby?" at the top of my lungs. Now, after finding out that the nurse had taken my baby to the nursery due to what I would later learn was jaundice, I confronted my husband about getting drunk on this special day and then leaving me to deal with everything on my own in my exhausted and irrational state. And of course, he did as he always did. He shut me down. He wouldn't discuss it. In the emotional state I was in at that time, I remember crying to the point that I couldn't breathe. Nothing seemed to move him, though. He really quickly went back to sleep. And when he woke up, he maintained the stone wall he had set up already. The silence at that time, to me, it felt heavy and overwhelming. I felt like there was a weight on my chest. Eventually, he started talking to me again, but not about that. And by the time we got home from the hospital several days later, I had calmed down a lot, and I wanted to talk about it because I thought this was going to be a serious issue since we just had a child. Well, he resumed his stonewalling, and this would go on for the remainder of our relationship. Each time I did anything or said anything he didn't like, I'd find myself agonizing. How am I going to get him to talk to me? What am I going to say to get through to him to make him understand my side of things? And after hours, days, or weeks, I would eventually just give up and apologize for causing the conflict, and I'd beg him to start loving me again. Well, after he felt I had taken the blame thoroughly enough, he might eventually forgive me for my transgressions, which would, of course, once again lead to me accepting unacceptable situations, details, things I didn't want to deal with, things that made me feel like I had not only betrayed myself, but that I'd also given up just one more boundary. That was always the way with him. He would slowly and methodically push each of my personal boundaries back, one at a time. I gave up so much of myself that I would end up feeling like I didn't even really know who I was when all was said and done in that relationship. Stonewalling, in a nutshell, is a manipulation tactic often used by narcissists where they refuse to communicate or cooperate with you to resolve any issue. Now, this can be seen in both the way they ignore you and in their body language, and the narcissist might simply just refuse to engage in resolving the issue at all. Today at queenbeing.com, I'm going to share with you everything you need to know about narcissists and stonewalling and how to deal with it when it happens to you, plus why narcissists do it, how they do it, how you can identify it, and where you can use it to your advantage. Stick around for this one. It's going to be good. So let's get started. Are you getting the silent treatment after an argument with someone in your life? Does someone use the silent treatment or the stonewalling technique against you as a form of punishment for when they feel annoyed or wronged? Do you ever feel exhausted or confused because you aren't even really sure what you did wrong? Well, you might be getting stonewalled, also known as the silent treatment. Toxic narcissists have a tendency to demonstrate a pattern of self-centered, arrogant thinking and behavior. Not to mention their extreme lack of empathy and consideration for other people. Narcissists also tend to really need to be admired and treated differently than other people. They see themselves as more important than you or anyone else. Narcissists are often described as being kind of full of themselves, really cocky, manipulative, selfish. They're patronizing, and of course, we all know they're demanding. This way of thinking and behaving literally affects every area of the narcissist's life, including work, friendships, family, and even romantic relationships. This is exactly why and how the narcissist is so capable of enacting the stonewalling technique in the first place, and how they can do it with so little concern for the profound effect that it can have on the people they're using it against. So, just to be clear, when a narcissist stonewalls you, the purpose is emotional manipulation, psychological control, and ultimately to get what they want. The silent treatment is a manipulation tactic where the narcissist will stop talking to you for days, hours, weeks, even months in some cases, in order to punish you for something they think you've done wrong or some perceived slight. It can cause serious emotional and psychological damage, especially if you don't realize what's happening. Believe it or not, this is just one of the many signs of gaslighting and emotional abuse that you might notice if you are in a toxic relationship with an abusive narcissist. Stonewalling is what we call it when someone stops speaking to you and/or recognizing your presence. They refuse to engage in communication with you in response to some conflict or problem that they see or have with you and/or your relationship. We also call stonewalling the cold shoulder. It's a form of avoidance that in theory accomplishes nothing other than making the situation harder and more difficult to deal with and escalating it. Logically, you as the victim will become resentful and you'll become less interested in resolving the issue. But when you're dealing with a toxic relationship that involves a narcissist, it's so much more than that. It's so much more than it seems. So is the silent treatment a form of abuse? Well, yeah, it is. It's a passive-aggressive form of emotional abuse. It is used as a way to manipulate you and control you, and it can also be used as part of a strategy for psychological abuse that can cause complex post-traumatic stress disorder, or CPTSD, in you or other victims over time. So how do you deal with living with a narcissist who is stonewalling you or giving you the silent treatment? How do you deal with someone who will coexist in this same house with you while literally ignoring your entire existence? And what if it goes on for days or even weeks? How do you beat the narcissist's silent treatment? Well, not only is it emotionally exhausting, but getting the silent treatment, getting stonewalled, makes you feel like you're completely worthless, and it can make you feel like you're losing your mind. Most experts are going to tell you that ideally this would be a two-word answer: no contact. But in real life, things don't always work ideally, and people sometimes need to live with narcissists for various reasons and various times. So let's dig into this. The first thing you have to do is educate yourself about the situation. I always say that knowledge is power, and the first fact you need to know about this issue is exactly why narcissists use the stonewalling technique in the first place. It's really important that you recognize that while many people have times when they need to retreat to think about things, someone who really cares about you is never going to use this abusive tactic to punish you. This is not a tactic that a healthy person would use to manipulate you. Normal people, when they're caught in a lie, they don't give you the silent treatment and they don't stonewall you. But narcissists most definitely will. This should be a red flag for you right away. So let's discuss why narcissists are so prone to using this type of behavior as a way to manipulate and punish you. Why do they give you the silent treatment? What is the psychology of stonewalling with a narcissist? So whether they recognize it consciously or not, narcissists are wired to sort of push your buttons in order to get what they want from you. Now, you might wonder which button they're trying to push when they just go silent, right? And you might be surprised to find out that it's really not at this point about making you crazy from lack of communication or simple boredom. Rather, it's more about playing on your own worst fears. And I'm betting, if you're like everyone else on the planet, that one of your worst fears is the fear of being alone in the world with no one to help or support you, or even to just be there for you. And I'm guessing that if you're currently involved with or you were previously involved with a narcissist, you're probably thinking about all kinds of little things a narcissist did in the past in order to play on your fears, at least in hindsight. So by verbally and emotionally cutting you off, the narcissist sort of offers you a taste of what life might be like without their little charming awesomeness. Catch that little bit of sarcasm there? So that's why the narcissist ignores and belittles and devalues you, because it plays on your fear of being alone, the fear of abandonment. It is their hope that by enacting this silent narcissistic rage against you, they will force you into submission and into being the good little narcissistic supply they need. As you saw in my earlier story, that's exactly what happened to me. Plus, the silent treatment works particularly well on sensitive, empathic people who are quite often quite attractive to narcissists, because we're wired to respond to and attempt to soothe the emotions of the people around us, especially when we love them. Listen, you don't have to take the silent treatment lying down. So how do you deal with this behavior without completely losing your mind? Well, if you're staying in the relationship because you don't have a choice, you might need to play this game. But in the end, remember that if possible, the best option is to get away from this person and move forward. With that being said, we all know that sometimes that's easier said than done, and everyone has their own reasons for the choices that they make and for why we don't just leave if it's so bad already. Make no mistake, the silent treatment is abuse, as I explained earlier. And the fact is that the silent treatment, it's painful and it makes you miserable. As someone who is likely codependent, you might feel like you need to fix whatever it is that you've done wrong in order to get the narcissist to sort of be nice to you again. But the truth is that this is exactly what the narcissist wants, for you to bend over backward trying to appease them, and all the while, they have no intention of allowing that to happen. In fact, they will only stop using the silent treatment when it is convenient for them to do so, and or they need or want something else from you. But if you work on your self-esteem and you learn how to set proper boundaries, and you recognize that you are, in fact, worthy of love, worthy of respect, well, you're already on your way to learning how to disarm the narcissist's silent treatment. You don't just have to accept it, and you don't just have to carry around false hope that one day the narcissist will change. Chances are they won't. So how do you disarm a narcissist who is using the silent treatment? Well, picture this. You're getting the silent treatment again, a lovely part of the discard phase that everyone who's ever been in a narcissist's path might recall. Maybe you've been accused of being selfish or of ignoring the narcissist's emotional or physical needs, or of being in some way dishonest. Maybe you've been accused of being arrogant, lazy, or any number of other insulting descriptives. But for the record, what's really happening here is most of the time you're dealing with projection in this situation, because narcissists tend to project their own inadequacies onto their victims. So as usual, it's about the narcissist and not so much about you. Yeah. The next time you're confronted with this icy, hateful, silent treatment for yet another perceived infraction, I want you to come back here and watch this video again. And I want you to remember that this is a game of control. The narcissist believes they can control you with their lack of communication and their lack of concern for your well-being. But the only way you can take back the power here is to refuse to respond. You have to just go on about your life as though the narcissist isn't there, or do whatever you would normally do and blatantly ignore their behavior no matter how PO'd they get. That means don't send texts to the narcissist trying to reason with them or trying to get back with them or get them to get over it. Don't post sad statuses on your Facebook page for people to look at. It'll just fuel them even further. And don't let the narcissist know that they are affecting you in any way at all. Don't give them what they want and don't give them what they expect when they behave this way. When the narcissist realizes they're not breaking your heart, they're going to try something different, something new. And while this will not solve your narcissist problem, it will certainly stop them from enacting the silent treatment for long. Now, one last thing, you need to be really careful when the silent treatment is over. When the narcissist decides the silent treatment is over, or that they're through with the old stonewalling act and they need your narcissistic supply again, they're going to do anything in their power to suck you back in. That's what we call the Hoover maneuver. Now, don't fall for it, because it's not really going to get better no matter what they say, and they're not really planning on changing anything at all. In fact, the moment that you relent and you allow this person back into your heart and back into your life, they're going to go right back to the same old behavior. All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, have you ever had to deal with a narcissist using the stonewall or silent treatment against you? What did you do to cope? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here. And while you're here, hit that subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.